As I said in the abstract, I will have three parts in my presentation. So first, I will talk a little bit on information concepts, that is, how to categorize them. Second, I would like to concentrate on a special kind of an information concept, which I would like to call a unified theory of information concept, and we'll give some illustration of that. And in the third part, I would like to think about this. That is, does it make a difference to have a unified information concept? So let's start with the first one. Magnus Ramage and David Chapman just published a book also. I can make also advertisement for you. So I've read it. And no, not on holiday. During my work, okay. And in the Magnus, the article of Magnus just dealt with what I'm dealing here with. That is, you have, if we want to categorize the information concepts, I would like to think of what is the context of information, that is not of the concept of information, but how do we deal with information, how do we handle information practically. The second row is what's the nature of information, that is what is information, that is the ontological part. And the third row would be how can we epistemologically investigate information. So these are three aspects of information which are connected with each other. And then we have these two streams with which Magnus dealt in his article. On the one hand, I would say, well, it's a hard science approach, that is sciences or science, natural science, also technology, and I would say formal logics, mathematics, mainly also on this side, while soft science, you see the also the terminology is already ideological. So soft sciences are humanities and including sometimes social sciences and so on. Okay, so I would like to characterize the first, and which is, I would say, still today also in universities, the mainstream. It is I would call it objectivism. If you think about the practical way of dealing with information, you deal with it as an object of action. That is, you are acting, and it is a kind of object. Okay. This hangs together with a second, with its nature. That is, you deal with it as a kind of, as an object of your action, and that means it's also a kind of thing. It's a thing. It's like a thing. Yeah. Sometimes you could make the intervention that you say, okay, well, sometimes information is defined as a structure or what. Or something like this. This is not a thing because it is different, but in a way, it's a kind of it's a kind of a material object, and therefore, I would say this is a materialistic thinking which prevails here as the philosophical basis of that. And how to investigate this? Well, you investigate this by the so-called objective study, that is study in the third person. Well, opposite to this is the approach which is taken by the so-called soft science, soft sciences. This would, they would say, okay, information is something which is an action itself, which is a subjective action, because actions are always subjective. So subjects are carrying out actions. what is the nature of information according to this? Well, this action is something which is not a thing, it is hard to get by. It is hard to it's in a way ephemeral. You cannot grasp it. So this is then the opposite of materialism. It's idealism, like ideas. You can't grasp ideas. And how can you investigate this? Not by third-person science, but only by first-person science. That is like introspection or whatever. Okay? I write here interpretive action. That is, you make interpretations. Yeah? And then is, I interpret now that you have this information or not. So, I think this is a possible way to categorize these two streams, but I also guess that you will understand that this is not a very satisfactory situation. So, both sides have their pros and cons. And what I would like to think of is, can we now try to find out what they can have in common and what might be a difference which is not a chasm between these two sides? And this is, I would say, I would like to go a little bit more in the direction of family resemblances. So this is not only family resemblances, but it is more because it might hang together in a way. That is, if you have a big picture, then you can realize what the links are between these different things, and this is what I would like to do. And so I guess this is also possible with this so-called third culture. You know, the author Brockman, an American author, 10 or 20 years ago, coined the term. He resumed the term of C.P. Snow in that, and this is a kind of transdisciplinary approach. And I would say yes. I would like to state yes. It is feasible. You can do it. You can make it. And this is the way how it could be done. That is. So the cleft between objectivism and subjectivism could be, let's say, solved by a dialectical way of interpreting this. And that means that information is seen as something which mediates the relation between subjects and objects. So you always have the relation between subjects and objects, and if this relation is mediated by something which can be specified later, then this whole mediation is information. So by that you can also try to reconcile the materialistic and the idealistic view. And I would like to call this emergentist materialism, a term which is, I think, introduced by Mario Bunge. Also, I think, 20 or 30 years ago, that is, well, you have to acknowledge that there is a kind of subjective action which makes an, let's say, ideational assignment, but by that a sign emerges which itself can be seen as material. So you see already here that you have this connection between material and ideational substance, stuff or whatever. So, and if you want to look at this, so how to investigate this, well, perspectivism is a term coined by Ludwig von Bertalanffy, the founder of the general system theory. And this is something which I like. That is, you have to take different perspectives, not only one perspective. And if you put them all together, then you might get a bigger picture. And so that is, you should look both from the interior and from the exterior. Okay. Now, I want to come to the second chapter, which is a special instantiation of this third culture approach. This is the unified theory of information approach, as I would call it. And what's now the kernel? What's now the core of this idea? The core idea is there's a co-extension of self-organization and information. So that is this philosophical ideas of subject-object dialectic, emergentist materialism, and perspectivism are now concretized a little bit by systems thinking, by evolutionary systems thinking, by complexity thinking, by thinking in complexity. And how does this work out now? It looks like that. So the mediation is now, the mediation of subject-object is now a mediation of the interaction of self-organizing systems with their environment. So object is what is the environment of the systems, and the subjects are self-organizing systems. All systems that self-organize are these new subjects. So that is, we have to open up the philosophical concept of subject from human subjects only to a broader array. As to the nature, so you have, according to this emergentist materialism, a build-up of order, which is done by self-organizing systems, and the order itself, and here you have these two aspects, the ideational one and the material one, and this order stands for some perturbation in the environment in reference to the goals of a system. I will deal with it shortly after this slide. And the investigation is also a shift of perspective, so you have to shift from the emergence of a new structure or a new state or a new behavior of a system to this emergence themselves. So you also have these both sides. Okay, and to illustrate this, so in system theoretical terms, okay, we have a system, we have a perturbation. This is a term which I take from Umberto Maturana and Francisco Varela, by which they say there is something in the environment of a system which influences the self-organizing cycles within within a system. So you see that we can here already apply Gregory Bateson's idea of what a bit is, or of what information can be said to be. Interestingly, some years before, I think I wrote it here in 1969. Donald McKay made a similar hypothesis. He said he spoke of a distinction that makes a difference. But this was then interpreted differently. So Luciano Floridi says that this has a rather epistemological twist, while Gregory Bateson's saying is more related to the ontology. And therefore, this fits here better. So we can say, we can apply this saying, okay, the perturbation outside is a difference that potentially might make a difference to the system, that is, to the goals of the system. But this is only a potential, It's an objective potential, but it needs to be actualized. This possibility has to be realized. And this is done when the system responds in a special way. And that is, it mediates itself to the perturbation via the build-up of order. Then we can say, okay, we have the subjective, so the black arrows, which are not punctuated, they show the actualization of a potential. And that means there is, they select out of the possible significance of the perturbation for them a certain aspect by making their subjective reaction, by making the sign which then refers to this perturbation. And this is built in the scheme of semiotics. So it's called a triangle. It's a semiotic triangle. So you see, I don't make a differentiation between information and sign production and so on. So you see that the system becomes a sign maker or a sign user. The order becomes the sign, and the perturbation is that which is signified, or which is to be signified. And then I also I took this, semioticians like to have Latin terminology, so I invented this Latin terminology in order to make it clear that this is a different semiotic triangle. Okay, so we can define information as something, as a relation that the order, which is built up spontaneously by the self-organizing system, stands for the perturbation and indicates a certain significance to the system. So, and here you have the three parts. You have the epistemic part, the ontic part, and the praxic part. And by that, this is the most abstract definition I can fancy of, which is feasible to hopefully to be applied in different approaches. Okay. My contention is that with this definition in mind, we can span now a universe of information. That is, we can see capabilities of generating and utilizing information in different systems. As we see in evolution, we have material systems, we have living systems, we have human systems, each of which is a refinement of the former. And so we can call them from the ability to form information, we can call it the ability to make codes, and we can call it the ability to constitute sense, which is for human systems. And we can make the differentiation according to which level of systems this is applied. The first level is the individual elements, and here we have the ability to cognize, and this would be, then we would have three different abilities, which are evolutionary different. We can have it on the level of interaction of elements. Here we have the ability to communicate. And last not least, which is very important, which is unfortunately also in sociology and in social sciences sometimes belittled and omitted. That is the integration of elements to a super system, and that is the cooperation. And here in these nine boxes, in these nine cells of the table, everything which is a manifestation of information should have its place somewhere. So this is a kind of heuristics. And these three lines, this is the so-called triple C model, cognition, communication, cooperation. So I have to hurry. What are the consequences of this? The consequences is that you find that evolutionary systems are on the basis of this information concept, and my colleague Timmermann and José María Díaz-Nafría, we are trying to just to work out a manifesto on evolutionary systems. We are just in discussion, so also we have different approaches. And so we could say, okay, the cosmos is populated by a variety of informational agents of the same kind and also of different kinds. And they are related according to their origin, so that they make lineages, and they are related according to a contingent encompassing architecture, that is the encapsulation of systems. And this helps you to make a good transdisciplinary conception of a concrete object of your inquiry. Because if you have this in your as your basic assumption, then you know that it must fit in this bigger picture. And if it does not fit, then you know that there might be something wrong. So what do I mean by that? For instance, each stage of information generation or utilization has a preceding one, because it's evolution, that builds the foundation from which it emerges in the course of evolution. So that is, it is a necessary but not a sufficient condition. And the second thing also, each layer of information generation or utilization rests upon a lower level or layer that builds the foundation from which it emerges along the hierarchy. It's also a necessary but not sufficient condition. So this is something David Chapman dealt with in his article in the book I mentioned already. That is, you have a difference in quality. You have leaps which are epistemologically not predictable or not explainable, and ontologically not reversible or reducible, and praxeologically not reproducible. But they build the foundation from which a next step can emerge. And this is the important consequence of, for instance, if you talk about cognition, you have several levels in the cognition, yeah, from the photon to the eye until the brain and until the whole idea. So you see, you have jumps from levels to levels, and you cannot bridge these levels by, let's say, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, I guess. Okay. Last consequence, a sustainable reconstruction of world society needs efforts in the generation and utilization of information in order to reduce frictions in the overall organization of systems comprising our world. So these consequences. First, I talk a little bit about these deterministic questions. So natural systems behave in that way. So they have a space of possibilities, and they have different trajectories. They can choose, so to say. And outside there is a little space of, or a big space of impossibilities. This is what I call less than strict determinism. But there are also mechanical systems. Mechanical systems are defined as systems which have lost their ability of self-organization, or which are not built in order to self-organize. That is, they only have one possibility to realize. Only one trajectory is possible here. So this is strict determinism. And we have to discuss what is computing. What do computers do? I think so far what we have, they work in a deterministic way, but this might be contended by others. And last not least, this is my social aspect. So what about the global brain? I would say so far we have meaningless technology in the age of global challenges. We have this, if we see the big picture of the evolution on Earth or off Earth, so we have physical, chemical entities which then differentiate into biota and recycled matter, which then differentiates into human societies and living umwelt and inert artifacts. So you have levels and you have layers which are built upon each other. And so the so-called anthroposphere, sociosphere is made up. And what about technology now? Okay, we are networking our societies. There's a trend towards informational organisms, as Luciano Floridi says, and there are the IT entities, as Luciano Floridi said, IT entities, that is the Internet of Things. But what do we need them for? What is the cyberspace for? So is this a kind of technological, is it really a re-ontologization, as Floridi says, of the of our world? I would say no. What we need as a real re-ontologization would be the priority on why do we use technology, for which purpose do we need it to make a meaningful technology. This is then a technology that makes a difference, and that is we have to build up a global sustainable information society. And then we can make use of these technologies on the different levels. We can have community intelligence, we can have collective intelligence, we can have ambient intelligence as a kind of noosphere, as Vernadsky and others envisioned times ago. So, I have to stop here. There are some links, interesting for every one of you, International Society for Information Studies, recently founded. It is an umbrella organization of all scientists and of all organizations that work with information in one or another field or approach. And there's the European Meetings on Cybernetics and Systems Research. There's also a web page, emcsr.net, which might also be of interest to you. And then there are further readings. I have a web page. You can load down many of my articles. And a book is in progress now. I'm not sure if it will make it this year for publication, but the other one, I have 4 copies here. I can sell it to you if you are interested. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I think perhaps we better move straight on. Do you want to squeeze in one question then?
I'm not sure that in the short time we had, I had time to understand properly everything you said. But there's one thing which concerned me. To me, the use of information is often instrumental and political. Now, your nice ideological picture of where we should be, normative picture, doesn't seem to allow for the instrumental use of information or that information itself is instrumental, that it's used in a political sense, that it is used to sway people into certain ways, that the system may be designed for one thing but is in fact used for quite a different thing. That's my question.
I think there is room for this political instrumentation because I try to instrumentalize the whole thing for a global sustainable information society. So you see that it is possible to do so. And otherwise, you see that, unfortunately, the mainstream in world politics is not that way. It is the other way around. It is instrumentalized for making gadgets, for making disinfotainment, for making false consciousness with us so that we run into a disaster.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, okay.
But perhaps we'll proceed
back. Yeah, I need more time to elaborate this.
If you look around us,
it's sometimes dominant, mm-hmm. this yeah. other view.